Step open Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. And the text which we want to focus upon is verse 6. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. Now this evening we wish to consider casting pearls before swine. I want to remind you, first of all, that in this series of studies, we are looking at English expressions, common English words or phrases or idioms that arise from the Bible. And although with time, the meaning of those expressions could have changed, such that today the way they are used might not be the same as originally found in the Bible, we nevertheless want to consider these common English expressions that arise from the Bible. Then we want to look at the background of those expressions and then draw out lessons for ourselves for today. The English language has been influenced to a great extent by the Bible. And we come now to consider one idiom that is commonly used, namely casting pearls before swine, which actually comes from Matthew chapter 7 verse 6. And if you were to look up the dictionary under pearl or swine, you will discover that this idiom is actually so well known that it is recorded. It is in the dictionary. And what is the meaning as used today when the expression casting pearls before swine is raised? What it means is that you are offering something precious to someone unable to appreciate it. So the thing is so precious, you have the good intention of benefiting the person, but the person somehow does not see any value in the thing that you have given to him, and therefore he treats the thing as common. He does not value it. He might along the way be careless about it, thinking that it is of no value to the extent that it might be lost or it might not, well, it will not benefit the person. Okay? So that is basically what it means. And I know that in many cultures, there are similar expressions or expressions that show similar sentiments or show similar meanings. So, for example, in the Malay language, we say, do not give a flower to a monkey. So a flower is to be appreciated. But the monkey just take it and tear it and throw it away. And I believe in the Chinese language, there is something similar where you play a tune on your string instrument to a cow, you see. You sing to the cow, but the cow cannot appreciate the tune, you see. So that is basically the same meaning. Now, jadi kita teruskan pelajaran kita mengenai apa ungkapan-ungkapan dalam bahasa Inggris yang berasal dari Alkitab, dan sungguh pun ungkapan-ungkapan itu seperti yang digunakan hari ini mungkin sudah berubah maksudnya berbanding dengan apa yang terdapat pada asalnya dalam Alkitab. Kita ingin mempelajari ungkapan itu dan melihat latar belakangnya dalam Alkitab. Dan dari situ kita akan mencari beberapa pelajaran untuk diri sendiri kita pada hari ini. Jadi satu ungkapan ialah kita melemparkan mutiara kepada babi. Jadi babi itu kan tidak mengerti nilai atau harga yang terdapat pada mutiara itu. Oleh itu, kalau kamu berbuat demikian, sia-sia saja. Kamu mungkin berniat baik untuk menikmati atau memberkati babi itu. Tapi babi itu tidak mengerti, tidak tahu menghargai barang itu. Jadi kita membuat sesuatu atau memberi sesuatu yang bernilai, yang bagus, yang berharga kepada orang lain. Tetapi orang itu tidak mengerti untuk menghargai barang itu. Jadi itu yang dimaksudkan. Jadi ungkapan itu, yaitu melemparkan mutiara kepada babi, sebenarnya berasal dari Matius 7 pasal ke-6. Jadi marilah kita melihat latar belakangnya yang terdapat dalam Alkitab. Let us now look at the biblical background of this expression. Let me read to you again. Verse 6. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. Now this verse occurs in the Sermon on the Mount, which covers the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, found in Matthew chapter 5 all the way to chapter 7. This long sermon was preached when the Lord Jesus Christ was teaching his disciples on the mountain. And the teachings are of a variety of subjects directed to those who have become disciples. And of course, we would expect that there were those who have not yet become true disciples of Christ who were present. There were those who were just simply curious or wanted to know more but had not yet understood or had not yet understood sufficiently or have not committed their lives to the Lord. They possibly could be present. But remember that the Lord was directing his teaching to disciples, to those who have become true Christians. So he was teaching Christians how to behave as citizens of the kingdom of God. He was basically pointing out to them that God is now their father, therefore as God's children, they must imitate their father. But others listening in would benefit from the teaching, knowing from these teachings what a true disciple is all about, what living life as a Christian is like, and so on. So it is of benefit for us to study the Sermon on the Mount, and it is of benefit for us to zoom in on this particular teaching given by the Lord on that occasion. Now, when we come to this verse, verse 6, it is quite obvious that the Lord was referring to the preaching of the gospel when he referred to things that are holy or things that are regarded as pearls. Now, how do we know, how can we be sure that the Lord was referring to the gospel which is preached to people? We know because the Lord himself taught the disciples what should be done if ever the gospel that they preach was not appreciated or rejected by people. Then, quite apart from the teaching of the Lord, we have the examples found in the New Testament, and we will zoom in on one or two examples shown in the life of the Apostle Paul. So first we consider the teaching of the Lord. If we were to turn a little further on to Matthew chapter 10, verse 14, you'll see there that the Lord was sending forth his disciples two by two to preach. And in verse 14 of Matthew chapter 10, he says, "And whoever will not receive you nor hear your words when you depart from the house or city, shake off the dust from your feet." See? So the Lord was basically putting into practice what he was teaching the disciples in Matthew chapter 7, verse 6. He's saying to the disciples, "You go and preach." And you know that we are well-intentioned in bringing the gospel to other people. What do we gain for ourselves in going out to preach? From the human point of view, nothing. We don't gain a following, we don't gain money, we don't gain fame, we are not looking for all those. We are actually spending our time, our effort, we are risking our lives, our reputation, going forth to preach the gospel to others. So really, people should value the gospel, because the gospel alone will do them eternal good. So if they do not appreciate what you are doing, if they do not appreciate your message, then you leave, and as you leave, shake off the dust from your sandals. Say that you have done what you could for them, now they have to bear the consequences. Okay? So you see now that the Lord's teaching to the disciples concerning what they were to do if they were rejected in their act of bringing the gospel to them, or rejected in the message they brought to them, then this is what you do. Say that, you know, everything now is upon you. I move on to other people. Right? So you don't waste time over people who reject the gospel. You do not waste time over people who do not appreciate it. Okay? Then we look at the examples of the Apostle Paul. If you were to turn with me to Acts chapter 18, you see what the Apostle Paul did. Acts chapter 18, we look at verse 6 and verse 7. We are told there, Acts chapter 18, verse 6 and verse 7, we are told there, "But when they opposed him and blasphemed, he shook his garments and said to them, 'Your blood be upon your own heads. I'm clean. From now on I go to the Gentiles.' And he departed from there and entered the house of a certain man named Justus, one who worshipped God, whose house was next door to the synagogue." So he began to preach from there. So in this occurred in Corinth when Paul was preaching there. So you see now, Paul intended good to be done to the hearers, but the hearers refused to accept what he was doing, to accept his message. So Paul just shook himself, shook his garment to show that I have done what I could to do you good. Since you don't value it, I move on to the Gentiles. I preach to you Jews first, but you don't appreciate it. I move on. I go to the Gentiles. Then on another occasion in Acts chapter 19, verse 9, we read this. This time Paul was in Ephesus, and he was preaching there to the Jews as well in the synagogue. Verse 9, "But when some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. And this continued for 2 years, so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks." So again, you see that if they did not want you, they did not want to listen, we move on to others who would. Okay? So from this teaching of the Lord concerning how to respond to those who were not receptive to the gospel, and from the example of the Apostle Paul, we draw the conclusion that what the Lord meant in Matthew 7 verse 6 must be a reference to the gospel. Okay? So I hope you are fairly convinced about this. Jadi yang kita ingin perhatikan di sini ialah dalam Matius 7 ayat ke-6, Yesus Kristus sebenarnya sedang mengajar pengikut-pengikutnya, murid-muridnya yang sudah percaya. Mungkin ada yang belum percaya yang berada di sana. Tapi dia tujukan ajarannya terhadap mereka yang sudah menjadi pengikutnya. Dan sebenarnya dia sedang merujuk kepada penginjilan. Dia merujuk kepada membawa kabar Injil itu kepada orang lain. Kalau orang tidak menghargai usaha kita untuk membawa Injil kepada mereka, atau mereka tidak menghargai berita Injil itu, okay, dan menolak kita, apa sepatutnya kita buat? Kita jangan membuang masa. Kita berangkat, bertolak ke, dan pergi menginjil kepada orang lain. Jadi kita tahu apa yang dirujukkan oleh Yesus Kristus ialah Injil dan pekabaran Injil itu. Kita tahu kerana dalam Matius 10 ayat ke-14, Yesus ada mengajar murid-muridnya, "Apabila kamu keluar menginjil 2 per 2, kalau kamu diterima, bagus, berada di sana dan teruskan penginjilanmu. Tetapi kalau mereka tidak menghargai usahamu atau tidak menghargai Injil itu, maka kamu tinggalkan tempat itu. Biarkan memberitahu mereka kamu sudah membuat apa yang perlu, tanggungjawab kamu sudah tidak ada lagi. Biar mereka yang menanggung apa akibat tidak menerima Injil itu." Jadi Yesus mengajar murid-muridnya bertindak sedemikian. Dan kemudian apabila kita melihat Paulus di dalam Kisah Rasul-Rasul, pasal ke-18 ayat ke-6 dan 7. Kita dapati apabila dia sampai di kota Korin di sana, dia terus pergi ke sinagoga dan ke sana dia menginjil kepada orang Yahudi. Tetapi orang Yahudi tidak menerimanya, mereka enggan mendengar Injil lagi. Maka Paulus meninggalkan mereka dan pergi menginjil kepada orang yang bukan Yahudi. Dan dia berbuat sedemikian sekali lagi dalam kisah Rasul-Rasul pasal ke-19 ayat ke-9. Jadi dari ajaran Yesus dan dari contoh-contoh kehidupan itu Rasul Paulus, kita tahu yang dirujukkan dalam Matius 7 ayat ke-6 itu sebenarnya ialah Injil dan perkabaran Injil. So now I hope you're fairly convinced that it is a reference to the preaching of the gospel. It is a reference to the message of the gospel. So when we bring the gospel to other people and it is not appreciated by people, then we move on to others. We do not want to waste time with them. Now, before we are too quick to implement this teaching in such a way that it becomes not quite what the Lord meant, we really have to qualify ourselves. Now, we must understand, first of all, that the gospel must be preached to every creature. We know that from Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 15. Go and preach to every creature, which means that we must preach to everyone, every individual, from whatever tongue, whatever nation. So we don't look upon a group of people, oh, they are of that religion, or oh, they are of that tongue, or that nation, that ethnic group, so they are not receptive, we are not going. Then you are failing to fulfill the Great Commission. Because the Great Commission says to preach to all. So you attempt to bring the gospel to all, not counting what sort of religious background, not counting what sort of ethnic background. And that may be something that people do, Christians do, and then they fall back on Matthew 7 verse 6 and say, you see, the Lord says if they are not receptive, don't go. But you yourself haven't been, how do you know they are not receptive? Ah, you're caught back, right? So you're actually applying Matthew 7 verse 6 wrongly. You must make sure that you don't have a preconceived idea. You don't have a prejudice against people simply because of their race or their religion. You must bring the gospel to them. Don't have the preconceived idea that they are not receptive. You might study history, the history of missions. You might listen to the experience of other missionaries. And they all give you the negative impression that that particular religion or that particular ethnic group is not receptive to the gospel. Now that may be true in history, the history of missions. That may be true in the experience of those missionaries. But as far as you are concerned, you have not obeyed the Great Commission by bringing the gospel to these people. So don't fall back on Matthew 7 verse 6 for not bringing the gospel to those people. Okay, that is one point. Yang ada orang Kristen, mereka salah menggunakan Matius 7 ayat ke-6 itu. Dengan cara ini, mereka sudah ada anggapan terlebih dahulu bahawa segolongan orang kerana agama mereka atau kerana apa latar belakang itu mereka, bangsa mereka, mereka dianggap tidak senang menerima Injil. Mereka jarang-jarang sekali akan percaya. Maka kita tak membawa Injil kepada mereka. Itu salah. Kerana dalam ajaran Yesus Kristus mengenai membawa Injil kepada orang lain, kita tahu kesemua orang mesti ada peluang untuk mendengar Injil. Jangan kita sendiri yang buat anggapan bahawa oh, golongan itu kerana agama mereka begitu atau bangsa mereka itu, maka mereka tidak akan terima Injil. Mengapa mesti kamu buat anggapan terlebih dahulu semacam itu? Sampailah kamu tidak membawa Injil kepada mereka. Sudah salah itu. Kata kamu, menurut sejarah penginjilan, sejarah misi, Missionaries pada masa lampau, masa lepas tak berkesan dalam penginjilan golongan itu. Itu mungkin benar. Itu mungkin pengalaman mereka. Tetapi itu bukan boleh dijadikan apa dalih. Boleh dijadikan apa asas untuk kita tidak menginjil kepada orang itu. Okay? Kita sepatutnya menginjil kepada orang itu sendiri. Kerana itu diajar oleh Yesus Kristus. Kita membawa Injil kepada semua orang. Okay? Amanah agung memerlukan kita membawa Injil kepada semua orang. Okay? Then another situation arises, such that we may be wrongly falling back on Matthew 7 verse 6. Now, one is that we preach the gospel to certain people and they appear to be antagonistic or not receptive, not interested. And straight away you say, oh, they are not interested. You move on. When in fact, you have not persevered. And perseverance in preaching is assumed in the Great Commission. Matthew 28 verse 19 says, go into the world and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. If you were to look at the original Greek, you will discover that there are three so-called participles being used. Okay? Going is one. Baptizing is the other. And teaching is the third. So the Great Commission involves these three things. Going to make disciples. It is not discipling, it is going to make disciples. Okay? And then baptizing. And then teaching. Now anything that is in the simple continuous tense in Greek, anything that is in the simple present tense in Greek is the equivalent of the English simple continuous tense. So let me explain. When we say, I eat, now that is a simple present tense. I eat means I just eat and it's finished. But if I say, I am eating, it is a continuous action. I'm still doing it. Okay? Now in the Greek language, anything that is simple present tense has the force of the simple continuous tense. Okay? So when you the Bible in the original Greek literally translated says, go make disciples. It means going. You're constantly going. Okay? Baptize is actually meaning baptizing. Teach is basically meaning teaching. You continue to teach. Okay? So there is a, underlying the Great Commission, there is the assumption that you persist, you persist, you persist. Don't give up. Continue. You preach and preach and preach until disciples are made. And when we see the example of the apostles, that is what they did. If you were to remember in Acts chapter 20, the apostle Paul says to the Ephesian elders, he reminded them how he preached in Ephesus such that the church was formed there. We read that in Acts 20 verse 19, verse 20, he says, you remember, he say, you know, how I kept nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, that was how Paul preached. You see, he preached, huh? In public and in private. You see, people come in here, he preached, and then he went to their home and he preached. So they'll come and hear him again, he'll preach, and then he'll visit them in their home and preach. See? So when people are invited here, or the Lord moved them to come here and listen to the gospel, we get to know them, we visit them, and we preach. We hold regular Bible studies in their homes, and we preach until they are converted. Perseverance, persistence is needed before you give up. Okay? And don't give up straight away at the slightest resistance to the gospel. It may be that that person turned out to be an apostle Paul who resists strongly, but if he persists in time, he is converted and he will turn the world upside down by being a mighty servant of God. You see? then you miss out on the opportunity of being the instrument of God to bring that soul to Christ. Satu lagi cara di mana kita mungkin menyalahguna Matius 7:6 ialah kita putus asa dan tidak meneruskan penginjilan kita dengan sungguh-sungguh kerana menghadapi halangan, rintangan. Sekali saja. Kita menginjil kepada orang itu semacam marah atau tidak terima. Kamu terus kata, oh menurut Matius 7:6, aku tak akan menginjil di sini lagi. Aku pergi kepada orang lain. Itu sudah salah. Baru satu kali saja dia menentang. Dia mungkin bukan benar-benar menentang. Dia mungkin akan menjadi terbuka kalau kamu datang ke kali kedua atau kali ketiga. Sebenarnya, menurut amanah agung yang tercatat dalam Matius 28 ayat 9 dan 20, kita disuruh pergi. Itu pertama, pergi menjadikan murid orang semua bangsa. Kedua, kita membaptiskan mereka. Ketiga, kita mengajar mereka semua ajaran-ajaran Yesus. Jadi pergi itu ialah pergi berterusan, jangan sekali saja. Baptis itu kita membaptiskan apabila ada orang yang percaya. Mengajar itu kita terus mengajar. Bukan satu kali saja kita menghadapi sedikit rintangan, kita terus berhenti. Jangan berbuat gitu. Kita mesti sungguh-sungguh teruskan. Jangan putus asa. Mana tahu orang yang menentang pada awal itu kemudiannya menjadi seperti Paulus. Dia menjadi hamba Tuhan yang hebat. Mana tahu. Jadi jangan kita cepat putus asa dan berkata Matius 7 ayat ke-6 suruh kita berhentikan penginjilan kalau ada sedikit halangan. Tidak. Halangan itu mesti benar-benar menghalang dan orang itu mesti benar-benar menunjukkan ketidaksanggupan dia. Dia tidak sanggup menerima, tidak sanggup mendengar. Okay? Now, finally, we want to ask, when confronted with uninterested and hostile hearers, why do we have to withdraw? You see, now we are told, firstly, in order that God's name may not be dishonored, and secondly, in order that the preachers do not run into needless danger. Now that is told us, firstly, in the first part of verse 6, do not give what is holy to the dogs. So to us, God's word is holy. The gospel message is precious. It is sacred. Now, if dogs trample on it, then they are actually dishonoring God. See? So we don't want God to be dishonored. And secondly, before they trample them under feet and turn and tear you to pieces, then in other words, the preacher becomes in danger for his life. And of course, there is always an element of risk involved in serving God. In fact, in any job, there is an element of risk. You see? But particularly so when preaching the gospel. So if I were to go to the village nearby to preach, you see, I'm conscious that I need God's protection. I have to go forth prayerfully. I need to inform the family members, some members of the church, I'm going forth to preach there. In case I don't come out, you know, you quickly go in and search for me. You see? But I don't want the fear that something will happen to me prevent me from going to preach to those people in a village there. Okay? So an element of risk is always involved. But I don't foolishly endanger myself when I know that they are waiting for me with their parangs, with their machete, with their knives ready to chop me to pieces. But I still go in there to preach and get my neck, my head chopped off. But that would be foolish. See? So you see now that we don't take unnecessary risks. If they already show their hostility towards all Christian preachers, or they really show their hostility and reject the gospel message, then we can move on for our own safety, right? So that we can be preserved longer and be used by the Lord to preach to other people. Okay? So those are the two reasons. In order that God may not be dishonored and that the preacher may not run into unnecessary risks. Okay? Jadi ada perkara terakhir yang kita bincang dari latar belakang Alkitab ini. Mengapakah kita tidak meneruskan penginjilan kita kalau ada benar-benar orang yang secara keras menentang penginjilan atau Injil itu. Mereka tidak mau orang Kristen menginjil kepada mereka. Mereka benci kepada Injil, kabar Injil itu. Kalau benar-benar mereka menolak dan menentang. Mengapa kita jangan teruskan? Pertama ialah supaya nama Yesus, nama Tuhan kita tidak dicaci oleh orang. Kan Injil itu suci. Kan firman Tuhan itu kudus. Jangan kita membiarkan nama Tuhan kita dicaci, dijadikan kotor, tidak dimuliakan oleh mereka. Dan kedua sebabnya ialah supaya penginjil itu, orang yang menginjil itu tidak menghadapi bahaya yang terlebih dari yang diperlukan. Jangan kita menghadapi bahaya dengan sia-sia saja. Kalau kita benar-benar tahu tempat itu berbahaya, kita mungkin dibunuh. Buat apa kita teruskan untuk dibunuh? Bodoh-bodoh saja dibunuh. Padahal kita boleh menyelamatkan diri supaya kita dapat melayani Tuhan kita di tempat lain. Okay? Jadi itu dua sebabnya. Now, we move on to the last section, which is lessons for ourselves. And I want to draw out three lessons for us today. Firstly, from this passage, we must learn that God's word must be treasured. The gospel message in particular must be valued. Okay? Now, God's word, and especially the gospel, is compared to those things that are holy. And those things that are precious like pearls. So we don't cast holy things to dogs, we don't cast pearls to swine. See? It shows to us that we must value God's word, we must value the gospel message. Now do you value the teaching of the Bible? Do you value hearing God's word explained? You spend so much money. Wait for a moment, huh? Cut my mouth. I'm not saying it's wrong, okay? For you to pay money to go to college, to go to university, and if you have the chance to fly overseas, study there, good, because the opportunity to go overseas itself is an education. Okay? Many people will agree with me. See? And so if you are able to go overseas for at least 6 months, perhaps 1 year, and possibly more, to study that, by all means go ahead, because the opportunity just to go overseas and stay there for a while is itself an education. Then somehow you go there to gain knowledge and gain a degree that will help you so much in your future career. Okay? It is not wrong to spend money to gain knowledge that is useful like that. But let me say to you this. You spend so much money to gain those knowledge that actually comes from men. They may be true, they may be helpful to your future, useful, but they are actually men's knowledge. Now what are they compared to God's knowledge? What are they compared to the things that come directly to us from our Maker? See? Now you think about it. If really God exists, if really the Bible is God's word, really they ought to be regarded as more precious. The Bible needs to be regarded as more precious than human knowledge. Human knowledge is limited in its truth. When more discoveries are made, the truths that they teach you have to be adjusted. You see? But with God's word, it never changes. Then human knowledge helps you only in your life on this earth. But the truth of the Bible helps you not only in your life on this earth, but it helps you for all eternity. And that is a fact. A person who knows the Bible well and receives it well, you discover he's a different person. He carries himself well in the world. He does not fear man. He's respectful to man, but he does not fear man. He walks tall. There is no such thing as an inferiority complex with a person who knows God, who knows the Bible well. He's not arrogant. Arrogance costs a lot of people a lot of trouble. Clever people tend to be arrogant, and they bring a lot of problems upon themselves. But a clever person who is submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ is humble. He walks humbly before God and before man. He's prevented from a lot of trials and problems in this world. And furthermore, he carries himself in such a way that people are confident about him because he's confident about his God. He's sure of his salvation. He knows what he wants in life. And therefore, as he lives out life on this earth, people notice, hey, this person is different from others. See, we are not saying a Christian is perfect. If you want to poke holes in him, you will be able to do so. If you want to find fault with his life or his character, you will find many. But that is if you are going out purposely to find fault. You can't accept a person for what he is. Then you can find fault with the best, most godly Christian. But we are not talking about doing that. We are talking about, generally speaking, in life you discover a person who values the Bible's teaching and has come to submit his life to Jesus Christ. He knows where he's going. He knows what he wants in life. He's humble. He's teachable. He's respectful to others. But nevertheless, he knows that he lives for his God. See? When the crunch comes, he knows where he stands. You see? And so you see here, compared to human knowledge, which may be valuable, that may worth the amount of money you spend to get it. I'm not saying it is not worth the amount of money you spend. It is worth the money to spend to get your degree, yes? Okay. But don't you think that you have spent so much time, effort and money to pursue human knowledge that is of limited value, of limited truth, compared to you're not pursuing the Bible knowledge? It's inconsistent and it is in a sense foolish. Okay. That is why I put it to you that while you should continue to pursue a degree, spend money, really learn well whatever knowledge that humans produce, humans find out for your own good in the future, for the good of your life on this earth. But remember that you must never undervalue the teaching of the Bible. If anything, you should value it even more. So while you pursue knowledge of this world, you must come and pursue the Bible's knowledge as well. Just because it's presented to you free does not mean that it is of no value. You see? So pursue it. Find out more. And come to know what it is saying to you. And secondly, pertama, kita mesti belajar. Pelajaran pertama, kita mesti menghargai firman Tuhan. Dan terutama sekali Injil, kabar Injil itu mesti dihargai. Itulah sebabnya ia dibandingkan dengan perkara yang kudus, benda yang kudus yang dilemparkan kepada anjing. Dan mutiara yang berharga itu yang dilemparkan kepada babi. Ya. Kalau firman Tuhan, kabar Injil itu tak dihargai orang lain, kamu tak sepatutnya tidak menghargainya. Firman Tuhan itu lebih berharga dari kesemua ilmu yang terdapat dalam dunia ini. Bukannya salah kita berusaha untuk mendapatkan ilmu dari dunia ini. Ilmu itu kan dari manusia. Manusia mencarinya dan mengajar kamu. Kamu membayar sebanyak wang itu. Dan ada kala kamu pergi ke luar negeri untuk mendapatkan ijazah itu. Tak salah. Kamu boleh membazirkan wang. Boleh membayar wang sebanyak itu untuk mendapatkan ilmu itu. Mendapatkan ijazah itu. Tak salah. Tapi kebaikannya ialah untuk kehidupanmu dalam dunia ini saja. Dan itu tak salah. Tetapi kalau kamu menghargai firman Tuhan lebih dari ilmu yang terdapat, yang kamu dapat dari manusia, kamu akan menjadi orang yang lebih teguh, lebih berani, lebih merendah hati dan lebih menghormati orang lain. Ya, ada orang dipandai dalam dunia ini, tetapi dia angkuh, dia tidak menghormati orang lain dan dengan itu mereka mendapat banyak perkara yang kurang baik yang berlaku kepada mereka. Tapi seorang Kristian yang percaya kepada Yesus Kristus, mereka ingin memuliakan Tuhan mereka. Mereka merendahkan diri, menghormati orang lain, tetapi mereka tahu ke mana mereka ingin pergi. Manakah dia tujuan mereka. Jadi itulah sebabnya mereka itu dia teguh dalam apa-apa keadaan pun. Okay. Jadi kita yang kita ingin katakan ialah sambil kamu mencari ilmu dalam dunia ini, janganlah kamu mengabaikan ilmu dari firman Tuhan. Itu lebih penting. Carilah ajaran Alkitab. Benar-benar mengerti Alkitab dan percaya kepada Yesus Kristus sambil mencari ilmu dalam dunia ini. Kerana ilmu dari Alkitab itu kebaikannya ialah bukan saja untuk di dunia ini tetapi untuk selama-lamanya. Okay? Then secondly, you need to hear the gospel to be saved. Now while you value the teaching of the Bible, make sure that you hear. Now sometimes you can be appear to be listening but you don't hear. It's like a person who look but never see. You see, you look there, but when you ask people, when someone asks you, did you see an old lady seated there and so on? You say, well, no, I didn't notice any old lady. Okay? So you have looked, but you didn't see. Huh? Sometimes you can just listen, but you didn't hear. Okay? So when you come to hear the word of God, when you come to know more of God's word, make sure you know the essence of the Bible's message. Make sure you know Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Make sure you really understand who Jesus Christ really is. That He is the Son of God, the eternal Son of God who has become man, perfect man, without ceasing to be God. And as God and man, He has died on the cross to pay for the sins of those who trust in Him. Understand Christ and His work on the cross and come to really respond to the call of the gospel, to repent of your sins, to trust in Jesus Christ. You know how it is that a group of students can learn a skill and all of them appear to be going through the same course, but you discover when the students graduate, not all of them are of equal quality. You know that. That depends very much on your personal ability, but that also very much depends on whether you have been learning while undergoing the course. You see? If your heart is not in what you are learning, you just want to pass, and then you go home with a degree and say, oh, I have passed with a degree. But when you are assigned a job connected with what you learn, you don't know how to do. And that's not good. That's tragic. In name, you have graduated. But you don't know how to do the job. You see? So we really want to learn. We may not be the best in the class. But if we put ourselves to the study to learn and learn the right thing, and you discover you have done the best you can, and at the very least when you graduate, you can do the job that you have been trained for. That's what we want. Okay? And similarly, when you come to show your appreciation for God's word, you must seek out what the Bible is actually saying. And the essence of the Bible is the gospel of Christ and Him crucified. Make sure that you understand who Jesus Christ is and what He has done to save sinners. Make sure that you benefit from it by repenting of your sins, trusting in Christ, so that you really can say, I have learned. You see, I have benefited. Okay. Jadi perkara kedua ialah kita sepatutnya mendengar Injil itu. Yang ada orang semacam mendengar tetapi mereka tidak menikmati kesemua kebaikan dari pendengaran mereka. Seperti kamu melihat tetapi tidak nampak. Ha? Lihat saja tapi tak nampak apa-apa pun. Kamu kata kamu sudah dengar tetapi adakah benar-benar dapat mengerti apa yang diajar? Ya. Jadi kalau kamu menghargai firman Tuhan, maka kamu mesti mengerti apakah inti ajaran Alkitab. Inti Alkitab itu ialah Injil Yesus dan Dia yang disalibkan. Kamu mesti mengerti siapa sebenarnya Yesus itu. Yesus ialah anak Tuhan yang wujud dari kekekalan. Dan Dia menjadi manusia yang sempurna. Dan tidak berhenti menjadi Tuhan. Dia masih ilahi, tetapi dia sekarang manusia juga yang sempurna. Jadi dia sebagai manusia dan Tuhan itu, dia mati di atas salib untuk membayar hutang dosa orang yang percaya kepadanya. Kamu mesti mengerti inti ajaran Alkitab itu. Dan kalau sudah mengerti, maka kamu sepatutnya bertindak, memberi respon yang betul. Kamu terkena bertobat dan percaya kepada Yesus Kristus. Kalau tidak, macam mana dapat menikmati kebaikan ajaran Alkitab? Kamu terkena dengar, mengerti dan membuat respon yang betul, iaitu bertobat dan percaya kepada Yesus Kristus. Barulah boleh kamu kata kamu sudah benar-benar belajar. Bolehlah kamu kata kamu sudah menunjukkan penghargaan terhadap ajaran firman Tuhan. Okay? Now, thirdly, how you respond to the gospel is taken note of by God. See? A lot of people just look at it from their point of view, not seeing that God is assessing how you respond to the gospel. If you accept it well, understand it, and repent and come and trust in Christ, you derive all the goodness that is intended for all those who respond correctly. But what if you respond wrongly? What if you despise the preaching of the gospel? What if you reject the gospel message itself? See? Now when you do so, God is not pleased with you. That is why God is telling preachers of the gospel, shake off your dust and move on to others. Now, people look at it from the human point of view, and that must not be missed out. It is true that the human response and the reaction there of the preacher must be noted. But what we often overlook is that this teaching is showing forth that God is displeased with those who do not value the gospel. See? Have we not missed out that point? You see? We look at things only from the horizontal point of view, between the hearers and the preachers. But have you not noted that this teaching shows that God is displeased with those who reject the gospel? See? God is displeased with you. He gives you all the opportunity. He gives you the truth. He gives you the opportunity to repent, to come and enter into the blessing of eternal life. But if you reject the gospel, you discover God is displeased with you. And if God is displeased with you, you must extend the teaching. You must come draw the right conclusion that if God is displeased with you, He's passing you by. The preacher is now going to else, to other people, to another place. You are being passed by. Okay? You are being passed by, which means that God is not bothered with you. It means that you are going to be left in your sin. You are going to be like that pig that wallows in the dirt. Goodbye. See, the preacher is moving on. The opportunity for you to hear something that would otherwise have done you so much good is now being taken away from you. That means you are under God's judgment. The day will come when judgment arrives and you discover you deserve the damnation of God for rejecting the gospel, for not responding to the gospel correctly. So at the end of the day, we need to link it with judgment day. You don't despise the gospel and look upon that trivially. It is a serious matter. And while we plead with sinners to come to Jesus Christ, we must also warn sinners that if they reject the gospel and they don't come to faith in Christ, they will be damned. They are in terrible danger. They are being rejected by God. And if this persists, they will end with hell. See? Jadi, perkara yang terakhir ialah bagaimana kamu bertindak terhadap Injil yang kamu dengar itu sudah diamati oleh Tuhan kita. Tuhan kita mengamati. Dia membuat apa pengiraan. Dia sudah mengambil kira bagaimana kamu bertindak terhadap Injil yang kamu dengar itu. Dan apa yang diajar ini menunjukkan bahawa Tuhan ini murka. Dia marah terhadap mereka yang menolak Injil. Biasanya kita melihat dari segi manusia dengan manusia, hubungan manusia dengan manusia. Orang yang membawa Injil, orang yang menolak Injil. Tapi dalam ajaran ini, kita melihat juga bagaimana hubungan kita dengan Tuhan. Tuhan melihat keadaan ini, dia murka kepada mereka yang menolak Injil. Itulah sebabnya dia kata kepada apa umatnya, berangkat bertolak kepada orang lain. Menginjil di tempat orang lain, bukan kepada orang yang menolaknya. Dengan lain kata, orang yang mendengar dan menolak itu sudah kehilangan peluang untuk mendengar lagi. Dan kalau mereka berterusan dalam keadaan mereka begitu, satu hari nanti, hari kehakiman tiba, Yesus Kristus pulang untuk menghakimi ke semua orang. Mereka sudah nyata akan terima hukuman yang sewajarnya. Apabila hukuman yang seberat-beratnya jatuh terhadap kamu, kamu tahu kamu layak menerimanya. Kamu sepatutnya menerimanya. Jangan kata Tuhan kita terlalu keras. Jangan kata Tuhan itu tidak adil. Sebenarnya kamu layak menerima hukuman yang berat itu. Okay? Dengan lain kata, kamu akan dibuang masuk ke dalam neraka. Okay? Jadi kita mengajak orang datang percaya kepada Yesus. Tetapi kita perlu juga ada kalanya untuk memberi amaran kepada orang yang mendengar. Kalau tidak menerima, mereka berada dalam keadaan berbahaya. Now we must close. There is only one right way to hear. There is only one right attitude towards the Bible's teaching. There is only one right response to the gospel. You must come humbly to accept what is true. You must be grateful to God for not passing you by yet, and therefore giving you the chance to hear. And you must be willing to repent and believe. Otherwise, you are not having the right attitude, you are not responding correctly. See, repent and believe the gospel. Trust in Jesus Christ for your salvation. Otherwise, there is no hope for you. Okay. Jadi kita hanya ada satu sikap, satu tindakan, satu respon yang betul terhadap Injil itu saja. Kita mesti merendahkan hati. Kita mesti berterima kasih kerana Tuhan memberi kita peluang untuk mendengar. Dan kita mesti bertobat dan percaya kepada Yesus Kristus. Kalau tidak, kita tidak akan menerima kebaikan yang terdapat pada Injil. Marilah bertobat dan percaya kepada Yesus Kristus. We close with a hymn, hymn 124. Hymn 124.